And welcome to the Steam Power Podcast. Chicka 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 chicka.
Live from beautiful downtown Southern Maryland, it's Steam Power Podcast, episode number 58 for the, 18th of January. The 18th of January, 2015. We are a bi-weekly podcast dedicated to bringing you the latest and the greatest in all of the world of science, technology, engineering, art, and math, as well as the open source and maker movements and any other kind of nerdy, geeky things we think about. So with that, Steam Power, the power to change the world. I'm Mike.
I'm Lisa.
It's time to get
steamy.
And we are back after 2 weeks. We're doing good. We're staying on the 2 weeks.
Yes, we've been doing good with our 2 week.
Yes, we have been.
Our bi-weekly podcast schedule.
Bi-weekly podcast schedule. I should put this probably over here because I look over this way. And of course, someone wants to call me in the beginning of this. I've got to pay the gas bill. That's important.
That's important,
yeah. This time of year until we get off of gas.
I always look so tired on the camera.
The camera adds 10 hours.
Yeah, really.
Like 3 o'clock in the morning in camera time. Let's go ahead and
I think I just need some new makeup. That's what it is.
Oh, you're getting ready for Christmas birthday. Someone's dropping hints. Make a note.
I just need some new makeup. That's what it is, yeah.
Siri. Okay, Siri. Hey, Siri. Now she's on the
house. It's not plugged in.
It's not plugged in.
Yeah.
So before we get started, let's thank our sponsor, Audible, the awesome audiobook company that is brought to you by Amazon.
Which I keep saying I'm going to try, and I really am this time.
Well, that means I have to get out my credit card, because our credit card got hacked thanks to a certain...
Thank you, EA Sports.
Yeah, something and others. But, I mean, part of it is, I admit, I did not put two-factor authentication on, because the only time I've ever used that was to buy our daughter... Sims 3.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of those things where during Christmas, you're in the heat of the moment, you do it and you forget. And of course, I should know better. Anything dealing with gaming is prone to teenagers spending
hacking.
A lot of time hacking. So if you do, and it's not just EA, I've had issues with Blizzard too. And I haven't
what
had
about
problems
Steam?
With Steam yet.
No.
So the point is, you know, two-factor authentication, if any website or any web service you use offers it, do it. Basically, two-factor authentication just means they'll send you an SMS message with a one-time code onto your phone. So when you log in, you put in your username, your password, you log in, and then it says, oh, wait a second, we're going to send you a text message with your another number. Put that in. It's only good for like 5 or 10 minutes. So
mm-hmm.
If you haven't done it, make sure you add it to all your accounts too.
Okay.
Just a little tip. Security tip. Anyway, so Audible, head over there on audibletrial.com/steampowerpodcast where you can find you can sign up for a free 30-day trial, which is basically good for one free audiobook. So if you're just like, there's one book you really want to listen to, go get it. Because if you quit even before the 30 days is up or even after, you get to keep that book forever. It's yours forever. And if you decide to continue, it's only $14.95 a month thereafter, which is good for, one credit a month. So then each month you get a new book.
Yeah. And that's actually pretty cheap because books are what, 20 some dollars usually.
I think if you go for a first run paperback,
yeah,
you're still looking at 15, 10 to 15. So here you can get it pretty new and, get it for less than definitely the hardcover. So, anywho.
And I'm starting to like listening to podcasts and books and things like that in the car instead of the radio.
Yeah, I think it's both. I mean, trust me, I would love everyone to listen to podcasts only, but I know that's going to only go so far. You know, I hate my voice after a while. So, you mix up, add a little bit of fiction, a little bit of nonfiction,
yeah,
a little bit of news, a little bit of podcast. Make yourself a well-rounded individual. So, anyway, we thank the sponsors of Audible for their support of the Steam Power Podcast. And I think the camera is actually working today pretty good. Anyway, yeah. Things and stuff and stuff and things.
I don't have anything today.
This week?
No.
It's quiet week.
Talked about my Keurig last time.
We did talk about the Keurig, and the Keurig is still
which doing I good. The Keurig has been going strong every morning.
I noticed today we were going out there, our little Keurig, what do they call them? Pods?
Cups?
K-cups. K-cups that said they're only for Keurig 2.0. And I'm like, well, how does that work? How does it, because the older ones don't have the technology in it that makes it safe for DRM. So I don't know what, unless it's the size, maybe it's the physical size, because I think these were like for the craft size. So maybe they're bigger and they wouldn't fit in. I don't know.
I like the Mocha.
That would be the real jerk move to do, is that.
That would be to start phasing out the old Keurig models. Size. And yeah, that would be.
Make the new cups bigger.
I would not be happy if they did that.
I would not be happy.
No.
Don't do that, Keurig. Don't be a D-I-C-K.
Yeah.
Anyway. So I've got two things.
Comics. Yeah.
One is comics. So, after a long hiatus from Marvel Comics, Star Wars is back in, Star Wars number one from Marvel is out. It came out this week. There's another cover I saw with Darth Vader. I kind of like the heroes instead.
The heroes.
Luke and Leia.
Is R2-D2 really a hero?
Yeah, R2 is like the hero of the series.
Really?
You could get rid of all the people, and if you just left R2 around, the end would be the same. R2 is the man. Well, the droid. He's not really a man. He's a mandroid. Mandroid.
I always thought C-3PO had something going on.
It's like Stan, yeah, they do, but it's kind of like more like
Bert and Ernie.
Bert and Ernie or Stan. No, more like Laurel and Hardy.
Okay, I see. No, I meant in a more.
I know what you mean. I'm keeping this PG. So, check it out. I think it's like $4, $5. And who knows? Maybe one day it'll be worth so much it'll be like it'll pay for your kids' college education.
Yeah, we can only hope.
It's a good. This takes place right after episode 4, I guess. So this the new comic book series is supposed to take place between episode 4 and episode 5. So kind of when they're still new and getting together as a team. So it's cool. I read it. It was really good. Really good writing. Really good art, too.
Looks like you've already bent it already, so it's not going to be
I did bend it. It's good. This is a 10. 10.0. and the other one, I just pulled it out because I store them alphabetically, so Star Wars. So the other thing, we recommended this already, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, but if you like Star Wars and you're this is the first episode, so it's going to take a couple more, a week or two for the next one to come out. Check out The Star Wars, not just Star Wars, but The Star Wars. And that's the full 12 edition version is out. This is basically based on George Lucas's concept, his first draft of Star Wars. So like I think that's Skywalker, General Skywalker. And like that's the big green dude is Han Solo. So this was before we know the characters of today. So it was the concept, the rough draft screenplay by George Lucas. And so back from Dark Knight, this was before Dark Knight lost the rights to Star Wars. And so that's the art side of it.
Okay.
Books are art, right?
Yes, absolutely.
I'm gonna take another little art here and have a little drink of my I want to keep this PG. There I go. I just messed that up.
Wait, that's mine.
I know. I'll buy you another one. So this past week, I had a friend at work say, hey, my computer died. At least the motherboard did. Can I get the stuff off the hard drive, though?
Yes.
Yes, we were able to do it. But I had to buy a little tool. This was like $17 off of eBay. So here's why I bought it and what it is. I should explain what it is first. No, let me explain what it would do. So back in the day, back in the day, I would take this. She had it was a SATA hard drive.
Mm-hmm.
I would take the hard drive out. I would then bring it home, go to my computer, rip open my computer, hopefully have an existing port left, or the cable, but have at least another place where I could plug it in, boot my computer back up, hope that my computer saw the hard drive. Hopefully it didn't infect my hard drive and all that stuff, right? Pain in the butt. And there it made geeks, I don't want to, I want to help, but, don't want to help.
Yeah.
Well, that's a lot of, not me personally, but geeks in general. That's why they don't like to help, because it's like, oh, gee, I've got a tank at my computer. Anyway. So anyway, this thing is from Cables to Go. I got it off of Amazon.
Cables to Go.
Cables to Go. And what it is.
Sounds like furniture store or something. Rooms to Go.
I'm on the floor. They're pretty good. So she,
you just dropped something.
Eat that up. So basically, little dongle, little device here, USB on one side.
A dongle.
Dongle. It's only USB 2.0, so if it was 3.0, it would probably be a little bit faster. But basically, you have, on one side is the 40 pin, the other one is the 42 or 40, one's 40 and 44 or 40 and 44? I think so. I think the old IDE drives, the big parallel. Mm-hmm. Came in 40 and 44 pins, something like that. So you have both of those, 40 and 44, whatever the number is. But then you also have a little connector in here where you come this nice little cable that I just sat down somewhere. Where did I put it? There it is. For your SATA, serial, basically, it's what all modern computers are now, it's serial based. So one little bit at a time goes across the cable. So you can plug this into a SATA drive. It also comes with a power supply because hard drives need, especially the spinning ones, need enough power to spin up. So a 12-volt source. So you get the battery or the power supply, the cables to go, little dongle thing here. I like saying dongle.
I like saying dongle too. It's cool.
You plug the hard drive you're trying to save into here.
Mm-hmm.
You plug power to it. You plug this, and you take the USB only into your computer, the working computer, and it brings it up like it's like a normal external hard drive.
You're able to
drag the files over.
That's cool.
So what I had her do is she bought another external, a good, like a 2 terabyte, which I was surprised. Like, it was $99 for a 2 terabyte drive.
Is that good?
Yeah, tiny. It's a great price. Last year, it probably been $200. So just in a year, it dropped to half. So basically, what I did is I plugged the good external hard drive into my computer, took the one we were trying to save, plugged that to USB, and then just literally dragged the files over. So it never even touched my computer.
Okay.
The files just went right from the.
So that's good in case there's a virus or something on it. You don't have to worry about it infecting your computer. Okay.
So that was pretty cool, and it worked really well.
Good.
So you can find it on Amazon for like $17 shipped free if you have Amazon.
Seems like a neat little gadget for that. Computer geek in the family who's always being called upon to fix hard drives.
I've been using this more than once in my life. So
goodness knows my family's called upon you a few times to fix some fried hard drives.
I love doing it,
and they love you.
I don't mind. All right, so that's the swag of the week.
A swag.
Let me go here. Let me go ahead and share the screen again. All right. So real quick, I didn't tell Lisa this, but I really was going to do a rapid fire through some stories that we don't want to cover.
Okay.
These will be in the show notes as stories that didn't make the cut. So, but the ones I really liked them, so I had to put them out. There's an article. These are all from space.com.
Space.com.
Am I on the right screen? Yeah. There's a new study that shows how Earth can contaminate alien meteorites. So as we know, as we go through as we go around the sun, we're throwing a lot of debris.
That seems like a duh thing to me.
Well, it's duh, but it's proven.
I mean, it's like duh. Of course it contaminates meteorites.
That's as far as I want to talk about it, but it's cool. And the point is, there's a lot of stuff.
Why would we think it wouldn't?
It's not that you don't. It's the scientific processes of that until we have tested it, until we have proof that is experimental in nature, we don't assume anything to be true. Even if it's like by all logic and reason, it makes sense. So that's just the way the science rolls. That's how science
rolls.
Let's
roll right on through the next story.
Another about story light. Deep space sugars may reveal clues about the origin of life.
Deep space sugars?
Deep space sugar, baby. Sugar. Yeah. So basically the idea is, you know, there's organic compounds out in all these the asteroid belts and the...
Do these cause cavities?
They probably do. But the idea is that you have all these chemicals.
Do they make you fat?
They get bombarded by UV from the sun. That changes them into organic compounds. Then one of those little meteors or asteroids gets hit. You know, they knock around each other. One of them eventually lands onto a planet. There's possibly one of the origins of life.
Okay.
Because remember, like Earth, you know, after we settled for a while, we developed an atmosphere. So, you know, UV.
So we're made up of sugar.
Right. Well, the point is.
That's why I'm so sweet.
You are very sweet. Though there had to be a way for the organic. How did organic compounds come into being? So how did it go from just the compounds actually being life, and part of the story that we think has to deal with sugars and other chemicals getting bombarded with UV out in space and eventually on asteroids and comets and eventually hitting
land. So it's just a big melting pot.
I don't want to go into it because it's, again, one of those stories that we didn't want to really cover in detail. But
yeah.
It's cool that we are all from sugars, maybe. Well, sweet, sweet sugar. Anyway, and lastly, NASA, a probe that we sent out, I want to say 5-10 years ago, the New Horizons spacecraft.
That flyby does not look right to me. That's not all one word, is it?
Flyby, yeah.
Flyby.
Sometimes it's hyphenated, I guess. But anyway, beginning this past week, it started to the New Horizons spacecraft started to boot back up after its journey to Pluto. And now it's starting to basically fire online. And here, I think it will do a flyby on July 14th. So we're a couple months out, but it's getting close enough to where they want to fire it up, make sure all systems, make sure it can communicate. And
do you think they'll ever consider Pluto a planet again?
I mean, so the whole thing about planets and it is.
I know they consider it a dwarf planet right now.
But that is.
Do you think it will ever be added back to the,
the rotation? Because that's a human created definition. How we define planet, there is a rigor behind it, but at the end of the day, it's still a human interpretation of
data. So we could change our guidelines and call it a planet again.
We could call anything, maybe one day we decide that anything that's not capable of sustaining life, not a planet, and make only sustainable life a planet.
True.
I mean, it's based on data, it's based on scientific observation, it's based on intelligent reasoning, but at the end of the day, that kind of the classification of things is still a human driven thing.
I still consider it a planet in my mind.
You keep it thinking.
It's just that ingrained, you know, that,
it is
that 80s education ingrained in me.
Even in the title, it's still a planet. It's just
dwarf. It's a little planet.
It's a little planet.
Yes.
I mean, you know, when Haley's born,
little
I didn't call her a person. I call her a little person. So,
yeah, but that's what they call midgets, little people. So you don't want to get into that.
Yeah, I'm good. All right, let's get into the real stories we actually want to talk about. So the first one.
Oh, did you see the other Google story? Good.
Right behind it.
Good.
So if you use Android or iOS, this past week they updated the Google Translate app. And I should give credit. There's apps that have done this before.
Yes. Just not as well, right?
I mean, I would argue that the Google one is a little wonky still. Like, I tried to do a handwritten.
Yes, we tried to do that.
And it didn't work too well. So basically, the idea is, for people that don't know, say you're in France and there's a sign and you're like, I don't know what that sign says. You could, on one hand,
take a picture of it.
Well, in the old days, you could ask somebody, what does that mean? Ask someone.
Mm-hmm.
In the old Google app.
But then you have to know the French to say, what does that mean?
Right. We can just point, you know, you're a stupid American, so they'll be fine. They'll be happy to help.
I figured out how to say, where's the bathroom in French?
That's
because you got to figure that out when I was in France. Yeah. No, I said, la toilette or something like that. I don't know.
Water closet, right? It's the doing.
I figured it out. That's it.
Well, the point is, in the future, you won't have to figure it out. You can literally, you're saying, and you don't have to take a picture of it. You just literally fire up the app, put it into the video translate mode, and just hold your phone up to the sign, and in real time, it translates the sign. And so you're looking, if you look at the sign, it's in French, but if you look at it through your viewfinder or your, mm-hmm. your camera screen, you can see the sign. Your camera screen, your smartphone screen, and it translates it on the screen. So it tries to match the color of the text, the background of the sign. So it looks like the sign is just written in your native language. So that is pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And it's for people that also don't know, the app already has the Vulcan.
Yeah, the Vulcan. Vocal. Does it translate in Vulcan too? That would be pretty cool.
You can actually have a conversation with it. So you can speak into it. It'll translate and read out. So you can have a conversation with a person
mm-hmm.
kind of through the app.
That's cool.
Skype also is also introducing something where it's going to do that real time. So as you're talking, it translates. So if I was looking at you on the screen,
mm-hmm.
I don't hear I hear English. Mm-hmm. If you're speaking French, and
it translates what you're saying. Okay, that's cool.
So the point is, so here's a question. Like, how does that affect human psychology and sociology? If for years, right, it's been, we see this melting pot. Like, every year, 50 languages die on the planet Earth, right? But if we get to a point where you can keep your native tongue and you can still interact in this global economy without having to learn another language.
How does it deal with all the slang, though?
I'm sure, like, anything not well right now.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm sure you have to.
Does it translate into Ebonics and all that kind of stuff?
Man, you are really, you're causing pain here, man.
I think a lot gets lost in translation, though, with your emotion.
Right. I
mean, that would be my consideration.
So you're talking, it's not just the slang.
With Skype, it's okay because you can see somebody and you can see how they're talking and see. Right. How they're forming the words to see what they mean. But if you're just speaking into an app and it's reading it back, it's like an email. You know, sometimes things get taken the wrong way. Like the tone right. of it doesn't come across well.
Sure. I think that's, again, like anything, the initial technology will be very Spartan and it will be very functional.
We need emojis to.
But. That's my question. I was like, so obviously initially this is probably going to be used for business settings where you tend to be more prim and yes. proper and specific in your meaning.
Yes.
It's not meant to be the human connection emotional level, but my point is, if we can learn to
Your point to my point.
And we talk about robotics is if we can master translating between two people and we understand the logic behind making people feel a certain way with our words,
mm-hmm.
but what's to stop us to give them a robot, an android, that, so I'm thinking like Siri 3.0.
Because the robot doesn't have any emotion though.
But could it lie to you? I mean, could we make it so that the translation mechanism is so
But how would it come out that you on its own? Like how would it come up with its own content? Where would the emotion be behind?
How does a human baby learn? Doesn't a human baby simply learn by mimicking its mother at first? Or all
yes. creatures?
So that's how it learns, is that it's going to be, it's like computer
learning. So the robot is only as good as whoever it's learning from.
You will have lower class robots, you will have middle class robots, and you will have the upper class robots. You'll
the
have
bourgeoisie the and exactly. the...
Just like... I think, and I've done this before, I think we give ourselves as humans too much credit to think that we are some I think we, our brains and how we are actually learned is actually a lot more simplistic. I think we overthink how we think because we want to think that we are special. We overthink
everything.
And I think there is
a lot. Gosh darn it, we're special and people like us. Isn't that what Stuart Smalley said?
Yes. My point is, I think that how we, human brain is actually simpler than we try to make it out to be.
I'm relative good enough. Speaking, I'm smart enough. Doggone it. People like me.
So, anyway, I just think this you know, there's the technology I'm story special. Of it, which is great. And we'll do another story that talks a little bit about the math behind it. But
isn't that special?
I just wanted to bring up the psychology, the sociology, the implications this has for human interaction.
I gotcha.
Do languages stop fading away? I mean, will we get to a point where there's a core set of maybe a dozen languages around the planet and people don't have to learn anymore? They just,
I don't know. I think we're still, I think it's, there's still going to be a million and one languages.
The thing when this technology gets to the point where you have a hearing aid, imagine mm-hmm. where you get to the point where it's, as soon as you have something that you just put in a hearing aid, and it translates automatically.
That would be cool.
You know, I'm saying there could be, I'm not saying the next 5-10 years. I'm thinking, how does this technology down the road impact us 50-100 years down the road when it's perfected and it's smaller and it's cheaper and everyone has access to it? Anyway.
Okay.
So let's follow on a little bit. So there's another article here from Technology Review that talks about the math behind. Yes. How, and it's specifically vector space math. So,
which I don't understand at all.
So the idea,
Adam, where are you at?
Adam, where are you? So basically, the gist of the story is, again, we're talking about, we've been doing this. There's the written word, there's the spoken word, there's machine written text that is easily translatable, then there's signs and posters, things that we see in the real world. How do you translate that stuff? And so the story talks about basically is the logic, the algorithms behind how we translate language translation, the spoken word, is the same algorithm, machine learning languages algorithms that they're using to do these picture translations. So the idea is,
do you need a drink, honey?
Sure. Yeah, I'm getting excited. It's basically we found a different way to do the translation. So instead of sitting there, basically in the old day,
you would so they sit can there, take a picture and then they can use math to explain what it's saying. In other words.
Not what it's saying, but you're extrapolating what the symbols are, and then you can then it's think of it kind of like being more like when we were trying to understand hieroglyphics, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you can't say, okay, I know that the letter A is the exact match for this letter A in your language.
Mm-hmm.
You use different. There's different methodologies for translating when you're trying to do symbolically. You're trying so instead of saying, you know, the word I, like me in English, is je in French, because we still have a common alphabet.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're translating between languages that don't have a common alphabet, that doesn't work too well. You can't do a simple translation.
Okay.
So what they're talking about is, you're looking instead of doing just a simple translation of this letter equals this word or this word equals this word. You're analyzing, you're doing it symbolically, and the way we do it is with computer algorithms that kind of treat it. So I'm imagining there's probably a lot. They're actually sharing some software with their image search, the Google image search, where you can drop up an image and it'll find like images or similar images.
Interesting.
But the point is that it's right. It's very math. It's a math. Mathematical.
See, to me, that has nothing to do with math, but.
Right, exactly. So, right. So it's like, okay, here's language, which conveys emotion and feelings and thoughts, but we're translating it between these different alphabets, different languages.
I think I need to share this story with Adam, and maybe it'll help guide him on his career.
So that, and that's the point, is that there are
this would be something interesting, I think, that for him to look into doing.
So the point is, you don't. Then you're right. It's a good point because there are people that are working the algorithms
mm-hmm.
are probably not all computer programmers.
Mm-hmm.
They probably have quite a few mathematics people that are experts in either cryptography, symbology. I mean, they talk here specifically. It's vector space math. Vector to me is deals with when your brother's class in linear algebra,
mm-hmm.
matrices. So the point is that I'm just trying to simply make is technology. Two points actually. You don't have to be a computer science computer major
mm-hmm.
to get into this world. And it is pretty cool how we are using math as a basis for, and then we program, we take the math, we take the algorithms developed mathematically, put those into a computer language that in turn are used to help a human connection between people. You know, and then you're back to your point of looking for stuff that people that are mathematical or scientific or technological, but still have a very strong desire to work with humans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Adam would love to work with computers. Me. He just didn't care for the computer programming aspect of it. This would kind of be right up his alley.
So yeah, it is cool. And think about it, it's a free app on your little phone.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it really is cool. At the end of the day, it's a free app that enables human interaction, hopefully better human interaction.
Cool.
Good
story, Lisa.
Good
story.
Good story. She picked it out. Awesome. Next three stories are kind of my picks. The more tech.
Yes. Focused. This, are we getting into the Elon Musk show here?
He's like my hero. I love this guy.
Elon Musk show.
So we, I guess we'll start with, let me go over to the first one. Okay. So this past.
The title of the story is just.
Well, Elon Musk doesn't mind that his rocket crashed into his robot boat.
Because we all have robot boats.
You
don't
can see why. You're back to your brother. Your brother has that both the balance of the artistic, the music,
yes,
for human. Whereas I am more, I skew towards strictly the technology and the hell with the people kind of stuff. So why I relate to this story better than the other one? A rocket crashed into my robot boat.
That sounds like a personal problem.
It does, doesn't it? So let me. The background is Elon Musk, SpaceX.
Why is the computer double?
Because this is what the people are seeing, and this is what I'm seeing.
Okay.
I just want to make sure I was actually sharing.
Okay.
So he's done probably a half dozen or so, maybe less.
Oh, he has a half dozen or so robot boats?
No, just one robot boat.
Oh, okay.
But he's done his company, SpaceX.
Poor guy. I mean.
It's rough.
One robot boat. Yeah.
You're poor amongst the rich, right? So anyway, his company SpaceX has done a couple cargo missions up to the International Space Station, resupply missions.
Mm-hmm.
All have gone pretty flawless. Not going plastic here.
They've gone perfect.
But this is private space venture. So what they're trying to do is figure out how do we get the cost down. When it's NASA, it's about exploring the unknown. We're not really trying to figure out how to make a buck.
Mm-hmm.
SpaceX is trying to figure out eventually how do we make space travel, space exploration profitable. And granted, it's early on, so he's not totally worried about that he's making every penny back. So in this latest SpaceX, they said, hey, wait a second. So when I launch, I have the rocket, it blasts off, goes up, gets the capsule into orbit, the resupply of the capsule, right? Mm-hmm. But historically, the rocket that gets you up to space, gets you into low Earth orbit, just falls back down to the ocean and is destroyed, mm-hmm. right? Well, he's like, well, that's millions of dollars worth of technology there. So what if instead of just letting this rocket free fall back to Earth like we've done for the last 50, 60 years, mm-hmm. why don't we give it some intelligence and capability?
Try to get it harnessed.
To land.
Yeah.
Back on a barge out in the middle of the ocean.
Well, crash.
This time it crashed. But the long-term goal is to make as much of the space vehicle reusable. So what they did this time was to take it out there, and it came back down to the barge.
So how can they pinpoint exactly where it's going to free fall back down?
That's math. It's math, baby. Math and physics.
More math, more physics.
We can. It's all based on Newtonian physics. It's okay. F equals ma, dx dy, all that stuff that we learned in.
Dx dy sounds like some designer label.
X and the y, you know, all that the simple physics that
yes.
I seem to have forgotten. I'd have to actually go look up in the physics textbooks all the equations. But the point is, it's just like if I drop a ball, it falls. It falls at 9.8 meters per second per second.
Yes, but isn't there a degree of uncertainty as to where it's going to fall?
Well,
or can they actually pinpoint it so precisely that they know it's going to hit this barge?
If it was truly just free falling, you're right. They wouldn't. No, this thing has intelligence in it and maneuvering capability to go to a specific location.
Okay.
It's not just falling on its own.
Okay.
And we hope that it hits it. No, it has some maneuverability. So after it gets the payload up into space, as it falls back down, it's I don't know if it's considered controlled flight, but it is controllable. So if you saw the video, I mean, you can see it's coming down. It's hovering a little. To me, it didn't look like it hit really the center of it hit from our vantage point, the back right.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it was pretty close. I mean, it got to the barge, and unfortunately, I guess there was just too much wind. It knocked over. And
I was going to say, it just seems like there's so many different variables for it to hit this one barge out in the middle of the ocean.
But they got within, I mean, it hit the barge.
Yeah.
So from the perspective of trying to hit a moving target.
Yeah.
With take a needle and try to hit, the entire state of Texas, the relative size scale. Mm-hmm. It's pretty good. So, right. So next point is now it's just learning.
Well, the barge isn't as big as Texas, right?
No, it's not. But scale wise, I'm saying define the barge. Like if the barge was in the state somewhere there,
Yes, I see.
You had to hit it with a. You had to hit it with a.
I was just making it funny.
I'm really nerdy about this. So you can't make a joke about it. So anyway, this point is he's not upset. It's because we're learning, and the point is for the last.
Did it damage the barge?
Yeah, it did some damage to the barge, no doubt. I'm sure there's some damage they'll have to fix. But not to the point of it sunk. It didn't sink the barge. But no, there's probably some damage. And then that particular Falcon 9 rocket is probably not going to be reusable. But the point is, up and through the 1950s and 60s, America was really cool about exploring, investing in science. And before that, we had the railroads. We invested in the railroads. And mm-hmm. we've always had this desire to explore, to have the manifest destiny, to move westward. And we've never been afraid of sinking money to enable that. That, even if I don't invest to make my money back today, future generations will. Well, since the 60s, 70s, America's kind of been in this technological lull. We've done good things. We have the computer revolution.
Technological lull.
In terms of
space?
Exploring it.
Okay.
Exploration, yes.
I was gonna say, are you serious?
No. In terms of exploration, let me caveat.
Okay.
America, in my opinion, is always it's when we're expanding our horizons. Yeah, we've invented with computers. We've miniaturized them. We've had a lot of innovation in healthcare, medicines. But in terms of exploration, in terms of The kind of stuff that, you know, and all the, but all that stuff has been, has had relatively quick turnaround. I mean, we've gone from concept in the computers to making profitable machines within 20, 30 years. Mm-hmm. I mean, my point is the big stuff, like to do the big things like moving westward, going to the moon. We haven't done that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping that the U.S. stays on task in landing a man or a woman or both on Mars in the 2030s.
Or both.
Hopefully both at the same time. They go together.
Or maybe somebody who is both a man and a woman.
I don't want to judge. But the point is,
technology is really, really coming.
This kind of stuff. We need to push the envelope. And that's why I kind of like Elon, because he's, you know, he's done SpaceX, he's done the PayPal, he's doing Tesla. Should say he's doing all these, not done.
Mm-hmm.
And then so that, you know, those sort of things alone, if he were to be even moderately successful in those ventures, I mean, talk about someone who's changed the world. I mean, we talk about Steve Jobs, Bill Gates, you know, did huge revolutions in terms of the computer industry. But someone like potentially Elon Musk with changing, I mean, think about it, changing the entire transportation of the world economy. And if not the world, at least the Western civilized world. If we were to go from fossil burning to electric vehicles in the course of 10 to 15 years, granted, electric vehicles did exist 100 years ago and they were an early competitor of gas vehicles, as well as steam vehicles. But the point is, to do it in a way that's sustainable is actually to be more than just a commodity. I mean, to the point where literally everyone drives electric vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
Like today, everyone drives, you know, there are a few people have electric vehicles, but most people the standard is gas guzzlers. If he could change just that, that would be huge. But he's also taking on the commercialization of space exploration. That's huge. PayPal was a huge change. I mean,
I love my PayPal.
It has its issues, but it was one of the first ones, first web companies to really say, no, the internet can really be a juggernaut for commerce.
Yeah.
Amazon came on along, I think has done better in some ways, but the point is,
I think Amazon and PayPal are like apples and oranges.
Yeah, I think they both want to kind of be each other, but that's another story from their day.
Yeah, they're both very different. All right,
My point is, let's segue into the stories. So he's not resting on those laurels. So here's the next two stories about him.
Is that him?
That's him. That's Elon Musk.
How old is he?
I want to say early 40s.
Late, really?
Early 40s? Yeah, he's a younger guy.
Looks like he's had a lot of plastic surgery.
I won't tell him that you said that. Because I'd really like to go work for the guy. So, you know, So
no, he looks like, who was that guy that Liza Minnelli was married to?
I don't know. You're when it comes to pop culture, I'm crap.
David something.
Oh, he's also doing Solar City. He's also so the people that just
Solar City.
The
yeah.
solar panels mm-hmm. house, that's him too.
Wow.
Yeah. So this story is he wants to do a space internet. And not just like space internet, like providing, you know, internet to our house via a satellite on Earth.
That's gonna bug me who he looks like. I can't think of what the guy's name is.
He wants to do like Earth Mars internet.
Oh.
He's working with Vint Cerf, who was one of the founders of the internet, now works for Google. Interplanetary.
So is he just like
planetary?
Is he just more of a go-getter motivated guy, or is he actually like a brilliant mind guy?
He and what I read of him and my understanding is he is kind of like the blend of Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak.
That
he is legitimately a smart, intelligent guy. But
so
he also knows how to make businesses. And
usually with people, there's two types of people. There's people who either are the brains, that have the ideas, but they can't execute business-wise, or there's the people who are brilliant when it comes to executing the business side of things, and they can take other people's ideas and turn them into something. Rare to get a blend, right. I think.
I think he is a legitimate, and what I get is what
I've Maybe that's why he's so successful.
I think, I've read some of his, and he's written some things as well. You know, he's not afraid of not being the smartest guy. He knows to go out and get other people when he doesn't know something. He's understanding that it's not always being smart. It's having tenacity.
Heavens.
It's having tenacity and being able to want to just, even when you have failures, to stick with it. So why not? I mean, if you've already done Solar City, Tesla, SpaceX, PayPal.
Yeah, he's got a lot of eggs in his basket.
Interplanetary.
Why not?
And then while you're doing it that way, you're doing that, because we want to keep this going for this.
Why not indeed?
Why not also add something called, well, that was a crappy loop.
Slash dot.
I like slash dot, but their presentation of the stories isn't as good. Hyperloop. So he's Hyperloop. Now has plans to actually build a test track to prove his concept. So
it's like one of those bullet trains in
except Japan. It's a bullet train that goes 800 miles per hour.
Wow.
So like, can you imagine going from New York to San Francisco in like a little over 3 hours?
Wow.
I mean, talk about potentially changing. And it's, I've read some other concepts where like,
now, where is this at, this picture?
This is not, in this Europe? Is a concept. This is a concept.
Oh, okay. Okay.
This is purely in the minds of the artist right now.
Okay. I like how they put the wind turbine.
But he is looking, looks like they're saying he's making, of course, it's got to be all renewable. it looks like he's actually going to do it down in Texas, which is smart. You know,
Texas, okay. Texas,
you got to get the right wing guys.
Texas.
You got to get them on your side, you know? And they probably have better tax deals for these kind of businesses. But anyway, so the point is,
lots of funds to back it up.
You have to create a vacuum. Then you do a magnetic levitation, and then you basically shoot through a pressurized tube. Imagine, like, you know, like the bank, look at the pressurized tube, they send the check.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Imagine that.
To the car, yeah.
Instead of it touching the sides, there's magnetic magnets on it that keep it from touching.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really laying, you know, it's kind of like floating there, and then you suck it out of the air in the front. Mm-hmm. So now there's no friction. So now you just
push. That's an interesting concept there. Yeah.
So he says,
this is the new railway, in other words.
Yes, basically.
Okay.
The new railroad. think about, you could conceivably, if you're a real go-getter kind of guy.
Now, could this go underwater too?
When he did his story,
that would be really cool to go. Like intercontinental.
Yes. I have seen in some of the stories where talks about possibly going under the water. But I think initially.
Oh, yeah. Initially.
It's going to be.
Wow. I feel bad for people that want to go to Montana. I mean, sheesh.
Well, you know. Okay, so we just had a first world problem. Our internet cut out. We were 54 minutes into the broadcast.
The broadcast.
I'm going to need another woodchuck after this night. So anyway.
Technical issues. We were talking about the Hyperloop.
Elon Musk.
And I think. Montana. Well, the one thing, I don't know if it caught or not, we were talking about how the Eastern Seaboard is not very well represented.
Yes,
there.
That's where we were there.
Today. Yes.
So, I don't know. I mean, it could just be. I thought it could be, because there's already Amtrak, really does pretty good up and down.
Yeah.
You got to go through Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina. I don't know how agreeable those states would be to having mass transit systems.
I could see North Carolina not being adverse to it.
North Carolina would be the least, in my opinion.
Yeah.
They're
pretty business savvy.
They are. I don't know. Let me just go back. Let me share this one real quick. So I don't know, but it's cool. I mean,
it's a neat idea. Yes.
And they'll start testing in Texas. I don't know, does he say when?
So we're going to go a little faster now in case the internet just crashes out again, right?
Yeah, we're just going to rack. So anyway, it's a cool story. Let's move to my last one. This comes from, I thought this was going to be a cooler story, and then I actually looked at it and I was like, so basically this is, I thought this was like from the American Society of Civil Engineers or some big group. This is actually, was it Norwich University?
Mm-hmm.
Which I don't know if I've, I don't know, I can't say I've heard of.
Norwich, is that Connecticut?
I guess, I don't know. So they listed, they came up with their,
So what makes them a reputable thing to come up? You know, why couldn't UMBC come up and say
top 10?
Yeah, they're top 10, or Washington College is top 10, yeah, or I don't know. You know.
So yeah, I mean, it's at the end of the day. Here's my point.
What bridge is that?
Why? This is the Kuaido Haiwan Bridge in China.
Okay.
It looks like an interstate highway system.
Yes, I was gonna say it.
It's a serious bridge. I do like that one.
The 7 Mile Bridge is not on there.
Let's see. Let's go down the list. The Qingdao Haiwan Bridge in China, the Burj Khalifa, which is formerly known as the Dubai Tower.
What's special about that? It just looks like a skyscraper.
It's almost a mile tall.
Okay.
Pretty cool. There.
I don't think I'd want to be up
clouds.
There.
There's like the cloud layer is usually about here, so you can actually live above the clouds.
Okay.
Where's
that? Dubai.
Dubai.
Okay.
Middle East.
English
the
Channel.
The Channel. I don't know why they call it the English Channel Tunnel. It's called, people know it as the Channel.
So what exactly? That's a road, right?
The Channel is no, it's a train.
Okay, a train.
It's a fast train, but it's not nothing special.
It goes
from France to England.
Okay,
the English Channel.
That's cool.
I mean, it's cool. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's not like I'm poo-pooing like, oh, I can do that in my sleep.
Yeah, really.
it's just, you know. Anyway.
The Golden Gate Bridge.
I think they had to do some things to give, like, America some credit. I mean.
Why not the Brooklyn Bridge?
The Brooklyn Bridge is actually on here, too, I believe. Or it was on another list. The Hoover Dam.
Okay.
I think the Three Gorges Dam in China is probably a better. The Panama Canal. Okay, I'll go with that.
There's the Brooklyn Bridge.
There's the Brooklyn Bridge. The Aqueduct of Segovia.
Where's that?
Spain.
Okay.
So the Roman aqueducts.
Okay.
The Great Wall of China and the Great Pyramid. I mean, I would give the Great Pyramid today because, you know, if all of all the Discovery Channel shows I've ever watched about it are true, we're starting to figure out how they may have moved those stones.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually involves as simple as water, dirt and water.
You know what? I would have liked to have seen on this list some more unknown things.
Yeah, the
these are all so, they're things that are so well known. Yes, right. They're impressive, but I would have liked to have seen a list of the most impressive, lesser known civil engineering projects.
Yeah. There's a couple
things where you like, you don't know about it and you say, wow, like that house. What is it? The Frank Lloyd Wright house or whatever, you know,
more architecture.
Okay. Whatever.
Civil engineering.
I would like to know. I would like to see things that I didn't know about that I could look at and say, wow, that's really cool. Not like the Brooklyn Bridge.
Well, they also had the top 12 over budget construction projects.
Isn't that all of them?
The Channel was $21 billion over budget.
Aren't all civil engineering projects over budget?
That was converted to U.S. dollars and adjusted for inflation. So $21 billion today's dollar.
How many projects come in under budget?
Almost none.
-8.
Yeah. I've never worked a project that has come in. I've worked projects that have come under, ahead of schedule.
Okay.
I've never worked a project
but not
that
under
has
budget.
Under budget. It is what it is.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's, I mean, it's good. My point is, civil engineering is like the unsexy version of engineering, and I wanted to give it its heyday here and put a story yes. about civil engineering and structural up there. Because, like, again, it's one of those things without it, because like civil engineering and public works are interrelated. And without those worlds, our lives would suck, but we don't know about it because it's those things that it happens behind the scenes.
So aren't some of these things that more, you know, you talked about, oh, that's more architectural. Aren't some of these things architectural though? Well,
right. So the ones that make the list are probably a beautiful blend of both the artistic, architectural appeal as well as just
what makes it civil engineering.
Well, is it a lot of this stuff is actually structural engineering?
Yes. What about these screams civil engineering?
So the bridges and the buildings are more structural. So civil engineering would be like the earthworks projects, like the dams, the aqueducts. Civil engineering is basically, it's kind of, it's not environmental engineering because there's a separate branch of that, but environmental came out of civil. It's roads, it's aquifers, it's stormwater retention.
The stuff we take for granted, basically. That,
right. Again, it's not sexy. No one
but it's necessary.
About it, but it's necessary to make buildings and see that's what buildings and infrastructure is the sex appeal because that is a building you built. But if you didn't do the earthworks underneath it, the grading properly, if you didn't pour the concrete, or God, I hope I say that right. Is it pour cement or pour concrete? Cement is a part of concrete. So if you didn't pour the concrete correct, I did that. The civil engineers.
I was going to say, like, what, you know,
if I get that wrong.
Why the buildings on the civil engineer list? Because goodness knows there's been so many different buildings.
Right. Because, and
why that particular build? What makes that a civil engineering project that stands to make this list right. any more than like that building in Kuala Lumpur or right. whatever? You know, what
right.
is it?
The
what's it called?
Two towers.
Yes.
There's two towers going up the crossway across.
Yes.
That's the thing is, I don't know. I was trying to read this article.
What their criteria was.
What their criteria was. And maybe it's a link off this page that I didn't see. But, you know, see, yeah, I mean, the problem
because
is
that is more structural
and civil and environmental engineering. Think about it. 100 years ago, there was just civil engineering. Bridges and all that. As time moved on and laws got stricter, the engineering licensing got stricter, as education got more diverse, just like the medical industry, you used to be just a doctor, right? Mm-hmm. And then we had like, okay, well, then we'll have like the heart specialist and then we'll have the nervous system specialist. Well, engineering has kind of the same thing. It has diversified and become more specialized. So back in the day when the Brooklyn Bridge was built, per se, the guy that built it may have considered himself to be just a civil engineer. That was
okay.
Over time, we have created more specialties because there's more people. We all need jobs, and we got to be different than each other, and we got to be able to charge more money. But again, so yeah, for me, it's all related because at the end of the day, I mean, you do any project like this, you're going to have. It's not going to just be a engineer. So when you do look at big building, you have the civil engineer to do the site layout. You have the environmental guy to make sure that you're taking care of all the environmental rules in consideration. You've got the structural engineer to do like the metal framing. You've got an architect. You've got an electrical engineer to do the power and to do perhaps the telecommunication systems. You've got mechanical engineers to do the HVAC systems. So, you know, buildings today are way more interdisciplinary endeavors than just simply, you know, back in the day, if I were to be able to gaze back and look at the guy to modernize.
Okay.
You know. So anyway, again, because I do have an appreciation of the civil engineering world.
Yes.
And I like looking at huge earthworks projects and I like, cause it's massive. I mean, on the scale, you look at it with your eye, you're like, human being did that. Mm-hmm. It's still amazing to me. So I had to give them a shout out here.
Okay.
All right. So before the internet drops out again on us here, let me go ahead and stop. Let me convert back over to this thing over here. Blah, blah, blah. I think it's actually working now for real. Maybe.
Yes.
Anyway, is there anything else? Well, I'll take a little sip here. Anything you want to mention? Any?
No, I don't think so.
Crocheting, knitting, coming along?
Good. Nope. Yep. Still knitting.
Good.
Still
Super
trying
Sheet
to
Dollies
think.
On Etsy, right? Super Sheet Dollies.
Super Sheet Dollies, if you're looking for any American Girl hats or anything like that, check it out.
Yep. I've got a couple more blogs coming out, one over at Mouser Electronics, so mouser.com/blog.
And you're working on your new project.
And I am working on a new project. I don't want to say too much about it because yeah. I don't know, but I'm actually going to try the, this time I'm going to build it on using the STM Nucleo and their embed platform. So this is kind of different. It's cool. The IDE. So like with Arduino, you download an application, you write your code in there.
Mm-hmm.
Nucleo and embed, you actually log into a website, write the code, it exports it a little binary file, and then you dump that onto your Nucleo.
I'll take your word for it.
So it's cool because you're actually coding in the web,
okay.
The browser. It's a little different. So anyway.
Cool.
Check that out, coming out again, mouser.com/blog.
Yeah.
And with that, for us.
Yeah, people should check out your Mouser blogs if they haven't.
If
how
you haven't,
do you go to that?
Mouser.com/blog. And I'll have a link to it.
But then
yeah.
I was going to say you have to plug
no,
in your
just,
name. Or
you, the stories come out, they're just in a release date order.
Okay.
On the side, you can see there's all the authors have their own page where they consolidate all our.
So look for Mike Parks. Yes.
And you can find it there. So with that, for us, though, the Steam Powered Podcast, you can head over to, obviously, steampoweredpodcast.com or on Twitter at Steam Power News, on YouTube, Steam Power Channel. But anything.
Why
anything
isn't it all just Steam Power Podcast?
So two problems. Steam Power Podcast exceeds the Twitter length of a name.
Oh, okay.
So you can't do that on Twitter. And on YouTube, once you settle on a name, you're locked in. So before I got smart and made it all one name, I already locked in Steam Power Channel. So
okay, gotcha.
History. If anyone at YouTube actually watches this, they can help us change it from Steam Power Channel to Steam Power Podcast.
Let us know.
I own the one I do. I have it reserved on another account. If I could figure out how to just switch the two, I have Steam Power Podcast.
So any YouTubers with.
Or any, yeah, even if you're not at work for Google, if you just know how to do this stuff,
yeah,
you're
hit
YouTube
us up.
Person, hit mm-hmm. us up. But anyway, we'll be back in 2 weeks. But until then, again, everything we do is on steampowerpodcast.com. You can find links to everything else. Hit our Patreon page, hit our Cafe Press site. Actually, someone favorited it today.
Oh, yay.
Cafe Press.
Cool.
So that was cool.
Nice.
To start.
And you're working on a new logo.
For the business, Green Shoe Garage is going to get a
yes.
new logo. The same gentleman that did the logo for Steam Power Podcast.
And his name is?
Avi Odenheimer.
Okay.
He is working with me to do new logos. I wanted to have a little sex appeal. A little bit better than my little.
Well, from what I've seen, they look good.
Yep. They are good. They are really good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited. Okay. So with that, I'm going to shut up because it's probably been an hour and a half.
Yeah,
now.
It's been an hour.
It feels like
yeah.
a while. I guess let me go over here and yeah, make sure that's everything. Got all the notes. Okay. So with that, have a great week. Keep it, stay quirky and keep it
steamy.
And we'll see you next time. Thanks
Bye.
For watching.
Bye.